stand till on Jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide.
All right, Fluent, you have something to get off your chest.
Yeah, I have something to get off my chest because today, for those that are watching or seeing it later on, you're stopping me already?
Whoa. Hi, Haley. How are you, dear?
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Ponytail, what's going on, brother? I mean, you just going to kick the door in. You're not going to say hello to me. You're not going to say how you doing. You're just going to kick the door into my house, immediately just start yelling at me. You're not going to ask me if I want something to drink. You're not going to ask me how my day went. Just kick the door into my house.
Jay, let's be very, very clear.
Is that what we're doing?
Hold on. Let's be very, very clear. If you're at my house, you know you're going in the fridge and you're getting your own damn drink. We like that. So don't try to pretend to these other people like,
but you know what I'm not doing? I'm not just walking in the door and walking right past you right to the refrigerator. I have to say hello to Mrs.
Vent. If you got a vent, you're going to come right in and be like, yo, I got to tell you what just happened.
Yo, brother, what's going on? All right. So here we go. It sounds like,
are you good? Are you good?
It sounds like the battle is going. So I'm right. Let me get out the way. Tell what's on your mind.
Haley, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, we're setting a big tone today, so I see you have that second ballot Hall of Famer jersey behind you there. Oh, I do. That's something we have. Oh, this side. That's something I have to get into today again.
So for those in the chat that don't know, or those that are watching later, JD was tied up today. Dub is filling in at producer. So I will give Dub his. What's up, Dub? And for those that don't know, Dub is Baby Drake. and as we were off, before we jumped in, he asked to hear a little bit more about Bob Cousy. And I'm just going to leave it at this. And then I'm done talking about it, because if you don't get it, then that's on you. That's not on me. Okay? So here's what it is. Bob Cousy is a top 50 player. ESPN has them 34, top 50 player all time. In the 75-year history of the NBA, he's top 50. JJ Redick, I would argue to say, wasn't top 100 in any given season he played. In his season, not all time. So if I hear anything about who was better, which is my argument, in their era, I'm going to smack somebody, because he was better in his, significantly better in his era than JJ Redick was in his era. Now, I want to go in the time machine, and if you put him back there, he'd be a wizard. Yeah, 100%. Just like I would be a genius. I would have the best TV show ideas, movie ideas, song lyrics. Apple would hire me as CEO. Of course, if I go back 60 years with all the knowledge and experience I have, of course. If I didn't, then I'm a moron. And anyone who thinks that's how it works is a moron. You either have to take all of JJ Redick's knowledge away, and don't forget he doesn't have a three-point line, and then say, how would he fare? And you don't know. Bob Cousy, give him 60 years of knowledge and information. How would he fare? And the answer is, we don't know. The only thing we know for sure, is what they did against the people that were in front of them. They can't control when they were born. It's so easy to say, but what if? Of course, what if is easy? What if is easy? What do we actually know? I like to live in reality of what's true. And what's true is one's a top 50 player and one's not. Like, that's the point. And if you're trying to make it anything else other than that, it's because you're trying to say that today's players are so much better than the past. Okay, fine. Congratulations, you win. But who was better in their era? He was. And one last thought. And I know you guys, sorry that I hijacked the first 5 minutes here. When say he didn't have a left hand, one, he actually did have a left hand. In fact, there's video of him dribbling with his left hand, doing left-handed hooks. A lot of you don't know, when he was in college, he broke his right hand and had to use only his left hand. But also keep in mind, and this is why I say you need to know history. That's why Jay majored in history, because you need to know it, because it repeats itself. History. In the 40s and 50s, when Cousy grew up, what would happen if you use your left hand, Jay? Do you remember? Not that you remember, but do you know the stories?
If you used your, it was a sign of disrespect, first of all. If you shook hands with somebody, you have to shake hands with your right hand. To shake hands left-handed is a sign of disrespect. So that's one part of it. As far as I know, that's one part of it.
So the other part is, if you used your left hand like to write or something, they considered it devil worship, and they'd smack your hand in the school with a ruler. That's what he grew up in. So to say he doesn't have a left hand, well, yeah. If you got slapped in the left hand with a ruler enough, you'd stop using it. So that's the stuff that drives me crazy. Okay. And all I, the last thing I'll say is, that's the bottom line. Here we go. Haley, save us from this.
I mean, it's the same logic, to be honest with you, when we talk about Steph Curry. It is. And the reason why I say that is because when I think about Magic Johnson retired in 1991. The guy who showed up in 95, 96, he was a shell of Magic, right? Magic Johnson retired in 1991. That was over 30 years ago. So if you fast forward 20 years, I can't imagine me saying that I'm not going to see anybody better than Magic. That'll be 50 years that I could say, yo, I haven't seen anybody better than Magic. I'm not these dudes walking around here that's 75, 80, 85 years old saying, Bob Cousy, the best point guard the NBA has ever seen. I'm not that guy.
No, neither am I.
I just don't think that it's Steph Curry. That's all. I'm not saying that there's not going to be somebody better than Magic one day. I just don't think that it's Steph Curry. That's all. I'm not looking at Bob Cousy going, yo, Bob Cousy, he was great for the 60s. Listen, they didn't call him the Houdini of the hardwood for nothing. They don't just hand those names out for nothing. I saw somebody better than him. That's all. So in the next 20 years, am I going to see somebody better than Magic? Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I just don't think that it's this guy.
Just because I need to address the chat, because we've got guys who've been watching basketball for 5 years. What point guards do hook shots? Magic Johnson. The greatest point guard of all time. That's who does hook shots. So there you go. If you want to ask that question. The other thing that drives me nuts is that I'm not saying Bob Cousy's the greatest point guard of all time either. I'm just saying, and maybe it's me, in the 90s, okay, that's when I was like really into like watching, like not watching because I'm into watching it now, but that's when I kind of, the era I grew up in, like the, you know, my 20s was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I would have fought you if you told me Bob Cousy was better than Michael Jordan. I'm not suggesting Bob Cousy is better than Chris Paul or Bob Cousy is better than Steph Curry. But in the 90s, if someone would have said to me, Steve Kerr is better than Bob Cousy, I would have been like, dude, you're a moron. They're not on the same level. One's a guy that comes off the bench who shoots threes. The other guy was one of the best point guards, if not the best point guard of his era. It's not comparable. So I feel like when I hear guys today say, you know, J.J. Redick, and this isn't disrespect to J.J. Redick. It just happened to be he was the one that went after Cousy. This is a guy who comes off the bench and is a specialist who shoots threes. He's not that guy. So that's the part that drove me nuts. Like, I would have never disrespected the history of the game by saying Steve Kerr is better than Bob Cousy. But yes, I would say Jordan's better than Cousy, Hakeem, whatever, any of those guys, Drexler. Like, yeah, sure, that's different. Those are the stars. The stars, of course. But I'm not saying a guy off the bench is better than a guy who dominated his era. Like, that stuff just drives me nuts. Okay, there's a super
chat. Yeah, and Jay, there's a super chat for you, Jay, from Nick Dawson. He said, OG, you believe Bob Cousy can guard you?
Do I think that Bob Cousy could cover me? When he played, I think Bob Cousy would have had a difficult time dealing with me. But I think I would have had a difficult time dealing with him, too. I'm not looking at Bob Cousy going, yo, I would have destroyed him. No. Because Bob Cousy, again, we're talking about a pro. We're not talking about a good player. We're talking about a pro who was a pro for a long time. I think that he would have had a difficult time with me because I might be a little bit bigger than him and I may be a little bit more athletic. But I think that I would have had a difficult time chasing him around, too. You see Bob Cousy's transition game, how he handles the basketball in transition. Again, I can't say it enough. You don't just get the name the Houdini of the hardwood for nothing. They didn't just make that name up out of nowhere. That dude was a magician with the basketball. No doubt about it.
And let's be clear. Let's give credit, right, where credit is due. He stole a lot of what he did from the Harlem Globetrotters. But kudos to him. Yes. Kudos to him to watch that and be like, oh, yeah, that's something that I could take and make my game better. And listen, everyone wants to make it a one-on-one. Listen, one-on-one isn't basketball. I've said this before. There were guys in my high school that could beat me one-on-one, but the only one who went on a full ride was me. Because it's not. You have to know how to play team basketball. And so put it in a five-on-five setting. Yes, Jay is, I'd probably say for sure, Jay is more athletic than Bob Cousy. But for his time, right, he was phenomenal. And the part that drives me nuts is these same guys, and I'm not saying it's the guys in the chat, but it's these same guys in the chat, like, well, maybe it is the guys in the chat, because like Dub, who like in 20 years are going to be hearing that, you know, I don't know, LeBron Jr. or LeBron the third, right? Those guys in the 2020s, they stunk.
I was absolutely going to mention that, Tone. That I just want to make sure that if you're comfortable saying that about Bill Russell, you're comfortable about saying that about, you know, the 70s. I don't watch basketball before the 80s. Just remember that, if I'm not mistaken, what are we in? We're in 2022 right now, Haley. So 20 years from now, 2042, the 2000s are going to be the 80s. And your nephew, right, or your son is going to tell you that Max Silverman would have destroyed Kobe Bryant, and you're going to want to choke the life out of him. You're going to be like, what? Are you kidding
me? It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
It's coming. And yeah, well, for Dub, who clearly should be producing and not in the chat, but fine, Shaq would put Bob Cousy on his lap. Yes, Shaquille O'Neal would. A player who's not in the NBA would not. Please, let's not forget, you're 1% of it's. You have better odds of being struck by lightning twice than making the NBA. Please, let's not disrespect NBA players. I believe that the White Mamba proved all you non-NBA players, including myself, that if you're in the NBA, you're better than players not. Or sorry, you're better than people not in the NBA.
I believe his line, which is the most infamous line that I've heard when it comes to basketball, is, I am closer to LeBron than you are to me.
And he is correct.
And that he is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. That's not his opinion. That's a fact. You have no idea how good these pros are. None whatsoever. So that's the thing that I stand on more than anything. So like I said, in 20 years, in 30 years, the 90s are going to be the 60s. And some 7-foot guy is going to come along and he's going to be dominating. And you're going to be like, yo, he would have destroyed Shaq. You'll be like, what?
Okay, so let's fix Nick. Let me fix Nick Dawson here real quick. If you don't watch Bob Cousy, and if you watch Bob Cousy like you say you do, so he said, I could watch Kobe and I'll be impressed. No one watches Cousy and is impressed. That's because you don't watch basketball. Sorry,
Nick. That reason right there.
Because you, if you understood history and you understood what everybody else was doing at that time, he was ahead of his time and you should be impressed. It might not be impressive to go behind the back, but back then it was. It might not be impressive to you because now you've seen people take that and take it to the next step and the next step and the next step. Listen, when Jordan and Dominique had a dunk contest in 1988, we were all impressed. We never thought it would get better. And in fact, it died, if you remember the dunk contest. And then what happened? Vince Carter came and went, wow, we've never seen that before. And then it died. And guess what's going to happen in a few years? Someone else is going to come back, or there was other guys that are come back and be like, wow, I've never seen that before. Yep. That's how basketball works.
Okay. We're going to put a lid on it there. I think you're absolutely right. Like, there, unless you're watching him or you watched him and, you know, you're putting enough time into seeing his career, there's not really a lot of room to talk. I agree with you. Everybody in the chat, thank you for joining us today.
All right. Hold on. So it's just not me. Hold on. So I'm sorry, Haley. I'm really sorry. Jay, I want your opinion because people think I'm nuts. You, they respect. So here we go. Shaq, McKiskey, Dell, JD, Ron, and Dub beats the 60s Celtics 5-on-5.
They would have smoked you guys. I'm not saying that they
wouldn't score a fucking point.
They would have smoked y'all dudes. In a 10-game series, you guys wouldn't have won one game. They would have smoked y'all. I'm not on the fence about that. I'm not thinking maybe. I'm not thinking possibly. They would have smoked you dudes.
Thank you.
And I'm talking about not just 10-0. They would have smoked y'all 10-0 by 20 at minimum. They would have destroyed you guys.
That's the part that drives me nuts. It's one, I admit today's players are more athletic, more skilled, in better shape, have more bigger, deeper bags. All of that stuff is true. But it's because of the stuff that they learned from 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago that that's the case. Mm-hmm. Trust me, if any of those guys or players today didn't watch any basketball, like you plucked them out of whatever and said, here, play basketball without any knowledge of the game, it would stink. It's because you learn and you get better. That's why the first cell phone I had was about this size. And it had an antenna that was a foot long. And now it's like, you know, you have this. Like, that's the thing that people don't understand. You have to look at it in the in the context of the time that it was. Yeah. And so when people are disrespectful to the history of the game, who I know didn't watch, have no interest in watching, right? Have no interest in learning and understanding history. I find it offensive that you try to talk basketball when you don't understand the history. So when you say the greatest player, just say the greatest player you've seen, the greatest scorer you've seen, because you're just, I know that you don't know and didn't watch anybody else.
Okay. Well, Shax joined us in the chat, so we know this is going to be a ride today. Shaq and Dub, so appreciate you guys for joining us. Before we get started, though, you guys have to get those likes up. You're just sitting there. Why not go tap that like button? But Jay, I'm going to give you the floor, because in our last pod, you mentioned you kind of wanted to, well, we want to get into football a bit more. We've kind of stayed on the NBA path, but we want to touch on some football today. But I know you wanted to mention a little bit about the whole Deshaun Watson case. And I know, obviously, in the last few days, the Browns have all that they have going on between them and the Panthers. So I'll give you the floor.
Well, I think it's good that they ended up moving on from Baker. And the reason why I think it's good is because I think that his time there has run out. Not that I don't think that he could be a good quarterback in the league. I just think that the expectation for him there, I think it was ridiculous for Cleveland. I mean, they hadn't made the playoffs since before Baker. They hadn't made the playoffs in, what, I think 15 years or something like that. So that was the last time that they made the playoffs. But then you bring in a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's coming in with the baggage that he's coming in with. And what I don't want is, I don't want this thing to just go away where, yo, these people that he paid off, or paid off isn't the word I wanted, these people that he settled with, and then that's just it. And we're not going to have another conversation about this. And then the NFL hands down a 4 or 5 game suspension, and this thing just goes away. When in reality, this isn't something that's taken lightly. This is a problem. And not only is it a problem, it's a problem that needs to be solved, because the next time I hear about something like this from him, I'm out. I am 100% out. Because I can't get behind a guy who is having this kind of problem, who's had this kind of problem that's continuous, and then a couple of dollars makes it go away, and then it comes back again. So this isn't something that I just want to go. I don't want to hear that it's just going to go away. Deshaun Watson is, without a doubt, when he's healthy, he's one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the game. But what that doesn't, that I don't want to mistake that for him not being a good guy, right? And when you're on that path, I mean, it's a slippery slope. And when you're on that path where, you know, you're an awesome player, but you got some nonsense going on, you can overcome that. What can't happen is it can't just be reoccurring. Because if it's reoccurring, then it's hard for me to get behind you. It's hard for me to defend you. It's hard for me to stand up for you. And I want to see Deshaun Watson succeed. But what I don't want is, I don't want this thing to just go away. Like, all right, I gave some people a couple of dollars, and all right, I'm reinstated after 4 games, and all right, we can get back to work. No, absolutely not. Because I don't want this thing to come back and for me to go, all right, I got back on board with this guy, only to find out that this is a problem that's been a problem, and I should have seen it, and I got duped.
Yeah, there need to be consequences of some sort, which is interesting, because I was listening to some, I think, the Browns podcast that they have on YouTube, and they were talking about how trying to debate whether there will be heel miss anytime, 6 games, 8 games, which is crazy, because the last thing I heard, he was going to be suspended for an entire season. So, Fluent, what are you thinking as far as the consequences that will come with Deshaun?
So first things first, for people in the chat who are confused, this is about sports. This is about life. That's Fluent and Chill. We're not just a basketball show. We've been focused on basketball because of the finals, but we are a sports show. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Players Choice Gridiron, where when we talk about Deshaun Watson, we talk about... And that be that's his theme song, unfortunately. He's missing the whole season. He settled, what, 22 civil 20 cases?
20 of the 24.
There is a professional code of conduct in the NFL, and they are going to set an example for him with at least a year suspension. I think they'd want to give him more if they could, but I think they're going to, he'll be, and that's why, listen, The Browns are stupid, but they're also not that stupid. That's why his first year of his contract pays him $1 million. Of that $230 million guarantee, the first year of his contract is for $1 million. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because they know, right? He's not going to play that first year. They wanted to cover their butts, you know, when that suspension comes out and he's told he's not playing. So the thoughts are he's a sick individual. I'm sorry, 26 charges, even if half of them are true, he needs to go get some help. And the fact that, you know, and this is why I don't even want to talk about him as much as we do, but we have to, because he's a top five, if not top three talent in the NFL. That's why we talk about him. Mm-hmm. But really, he needs to go get some help. And the fact that he's not even admitting that he has a problem, I think is a bigger issue that needs to be addressed. Because as a husband, as a son, as a father of a daughter, right? Like, heaven forbid my daughter was one of those women, because I guarantee you he wouldn't be playing next season because he'd be injured. Like, that, I don't care how much money you throw at me. So that's the stuff that I don't accept. So that's the stuff that bothered. Now, are all 26 people lying? Okay. If I'm wrong and he did nothing wrong, then I'll say sorry and my bad. But I doubt that 26 people all had the same story of misconduct. Mm-hmm. And just so we're clear, I haven't seen the contract, but, you know, I have some ties to the Browns who make some phone calls for me. And there's a morality clause in that contract. So if it gets worse, trust the Browns can get out of this. Now, whether they choose to or not, because they'll obviously look really dumb, but it's the Browns. They always look dumb. So they should, from what I understand, they do have an out if it gets to a certain point. So, you know,
I'm having a hard time, Tone, with the logic that he's going to be suspended the entire season.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think they're doing that. Nope. I don't think the union's going to allow that. I don't.
Here's my question, because I've heard this. Do you think, because we all know what happened with Bridges, is it Bridges in Charlotte? Bridges. Yeah.
Miles Bridges. I'm sorry, Miles Bridges. Not
Miles, 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 Miles. Yeah, Bridges. I always mix them up. But is it true that the NBA is a bit more tight as far as like suspensions and consequences go versus the NFL? Or because that's what I would say. So to be honest, when I first heard everything, I thought it would all be swept under the rug. Then, of course, there were some trials and all that came. But now I'm almost leaning towards less than a season. I don't think he's going to get suspended for an entire season either. Obviously, we don't know the whole story, but I don't know. If he can play at all, I think he might be there.
The thing that you got to remember too, Tone, is he also missed the entire season last year. And that was due to him wanting to be traded, which is also, I'm not a guy of coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, but I do think it's coincidental, quote unquote, that he asked to be traded and then all of a sudden these charges come about. So,
that's part of that we know is because the Houston staff was helping him arrange these meetings.
Right.
And they thought they wouldn't get caught, right, and that it would be all on you. We're going to make you look bad.
Right.
So that I don't know all that does is bring his trade value down.
Right.
It nothing that either one of these two teams have done, or right, him for that matter. Let's be honest. Yeah. He wasted a season. And what did he end up doing? He still ended up paying everybody. So if he would have, listen, I'm not condoning, you know, you heard what I just said. I'm not condoning his action.
Right.
Dude, you know this is coming. You know how many are out there. You start paying them all off that hush money up front. I get it. That probably means there's going to be 30 instead of 20 or 40. Get it done. Play football. That's what you're good at. That's what you want to do, I'm assuming. Now you've taken out a year to now a season and a half to two seasons of your career.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back after 2 years of not playing. You know, people, he's gonna have fresh legs. No, he's not. He's gonna be rusty as hell.
I haven't played football at the professional level in 2 years, which is why I'm thinking to myself, I can't see them suspending him the entire season, because this union that the NFL has, I think that they're gonna fight for him. Even if it was a 10 game suspension, I think that they're gonna come off of that. Now, does he deserve to be suspended the whole season? I can't tell you what he deserves, Tone. What I can tell you is that I do not want to see this thing just go away like it didn't happen, because he gave a couple of people some money, and then that's the end of it. I'm not trying to hear that, Tone. No, I'm not interested. I'm not entertaining that. I will not hear that. No, absolutely not. Because there needs to be some accountability here. It can't just be, well, I didn't really think that I did anything wrong. No. My grandmother told me when I was a kid, Jermaine, one person could tell a lie. Five people ain't telling the same lie. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Listen, yeah. you asked me on Tuesday if I was, sorry, Haley. You asked me on Tuesday if I was commissioner of the NBA, what I would change. If I was commissioner of the NFL, he's not allowed back on the field unless he commits to this, whatever that therapy, whatever that thing is to fix whatever's going on in that head of his.
Well, we have to, Tone. We got to get to the bottom of exactly what it was. So, because I'm not interested in him allocuting to something that he didn't do. That part I'm not interested in. However,
I told you, if he didn't do anything, I'll be the first one to...
Right. I got no problem with that. But what I'm not trying to hear is I'm not trying to hear the logic of, well, I'm just going to pay some people and just let this thing go away. And then this comes back, Haley, in 2 more years or in 3 years, we having this conversation again. Because then now we having a whole different set of problems. And I'm going to have a bigger issue, not just with him, but with the system. I'm going to have a bigger issue with them. So.
Yeah, 100%. And Franklin in the chat said, would the NBA ban Bridges for life or for good?
No, I
think that, you know more about that, Jay, but I don't know.
Haley,
how long do you think the suspension would be?
Just so you know, Haley, the Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, he started a riot, okay? He played 10 more seasons after that. So, right. Miles Bridges. That's not his name. His name's Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges did something very dumb. All right. He did something very dumb. And this is something that's reoccurring. We're just finding out about it right now. And this is something that needs to be dealt with immediately. This isn't something that we're going to give him a slap on the wrist. And then because we're going to find out about this again, unless he gets some sort of counseling and gets some help, because this is absolutely something that's reoccurring. Don't forget, Tone, Ray Rice. We never heard from him again. And that was something that was ongoing. So this thing with Miles Bridges, I think that it's an unfortunate situation. I just have I'm a pretty tolerant individual when it comes to a lot of stuff, because I'm a flawed individual. But when you out here smacking up women and you beating up, I got no tolerance for that, man. I just don't. I'm not
trying to hear that. Especially in front of your kids.
I'm not trying to hear that. I'm just not. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, and I get it. Like, you know, we're humans, emotions and alcohol can get involved. But yeah, there's no excuse for that. And there should be consequences.
Nope.
But we'll move away from this. But it is good to touch on. What did Nick, you had a question in the chat.
Ignore Dubs. Just go unfollow.
We appreciate you, but okay. So Jay, they've been talking in the chat a lot about Shaq's in the chat right now, and they were talking about if Shaq could go against Bob Cousy. And Nick said Shaq is 11-0 versus Bob Cousy in a 1-1. Also, do you think all the Deshaun talk is distracting the Washington Commander situation with Dan Snyder?
Well, first of all, let's start with Shaq and him going up against Bob Cousy. Well, once again, Tone, let's go. It's easy to look back on. It's easy to look back on 98 Windows software and go, that software is trash. Yeah. Well, in 1998, it was cutting edge. But if you took that 98 software and brought it into 2020 and you updated it, we're having a different conversation. But if that's the software that you have and you bring it in here, well, obviously it's not going to be as good. If you take Shaq, I can see you just looking at the black and white and the short shorts and you thinking, yo, I will destroy this guy. I can tell you right now, Shaq, you wouldn't. He's a lot tougher than you think he is. A lot tougher than you think he is. He's a lot faster than you think he is, right? He's a lot stronger than you think he is. We're not just talking about a dude who played in the 50s. It's the best example I can give you is Tone has a son. In about maybe 10 years from now, about 5 years from now, his son is going to come to a conclusion that he thinks he can take dad. And then he's going to find out really quickly he can't.
Nope.
And you know why? Because it's dad. and dad has different kind of strength. When I look at Bob Cousy, Bob Cousy has a different type of skill set, right? Bob Cousy is Bob Cousy. He's a pro. Shaq is also a pro, and he's a pro from the future. That doesn't mean that this guy from back then, you would just destroy him. No, I think that you'd have a difficult time with Bob Cousy. I think he'd have a difficult time with you too, because you're both pros. But I don't think it would just be a wash where, yo, I would destroy Bob Cousy. No,
yeah. And I want to clarify two things. One, so people don't think I'm completely nuts. Yes, I agree. Players from today playing players from 60 years ago in a one-on-one probably win 99% of the time if they're of equal, you know, like you can't put, I'm trying to think like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain versus, I don't know, think of a guard like Chris Paul. Like no, then I'm sorry. Then Wilt's still winning because there's just such a size. It's different. But I'm saying for the most part, today's players, again, have 60 years of game evolution. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this. And I think, and let me go back another step when I said, no one who doesn't play ball will beat a professional. Let me be clear. No non-professional basketball player, okay, is beating a professional basketball player. I think I said NBA, and I don't mean NBA. I mean professional versus non-pro. Okay.
You guys have no idea how good these guys are. You have no idea how good these guys are.
You know, like I guarantee you there's people in the chat who think Shaq, he plays in Europe. He plays for Olympiakos in Greece. He doesn't know. Dude, I guarantee you that Shaq is a I don't care where in the world you play, because Jay and I know we've been down that road years ago, right? It's once you're getting paid to do something, it's a different level. And if you're not getting paid, you don't understand what that's like. Get that out of the way first. Then to the thing about the players. Yes, I think they're winning. But what if you told Shaq, since that's Nick, you know, $5. Thank you, Nick. And Nick's great, by the way. He joined Gridiron yesterday and came in to bull in the ring and like brought fire. So I like Nick. Here's the thing. If you told Shaq you have to play under those rules of the 60s, no ball, no palming the ball on the side, no doing this, you know, you only get like 1.5 steps. You can only shoot it the certain ways that they knew how. I guarantee you it's a different, and there's no 3-point line. It's a different game. Right. And that's why I use this example too. That's why when I, maybe 10 years ago, because now I'm a little way past my prime, but 10 years ago, would go and play with 25-year-olds who thought, who's this old man? 20-year-olds, who's this old man? And guess what would happen? Yeah, they'd run faster than me. Yeah, they'd jump higher than me. Guess who had more points at the end of the game? Oh, it was me. Right. And everyone's been down that road before who's older. And when you're 20, and I'm the same way, you never believe 35-year-old, 40-year-old man out touching me. Yeah, until they do, right? Until they drop that shoulder into you and you find yourself flat on your back. So that's I just want to add that little bit of context to it as well. Thanks for the super chat, Nick. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. And Dub just said, I got Shaq beating Julius mid-Randall. Honestly, possible. That one I could see. okay.
And again, I go back to one-on-one. Doesn't mean anything, but one-on-one isn't basketball. That's one-on-one. Sorry.
Yeah. Very different worlds.
Not the same.
But okay. So next season, this is individual. LeBron and KD. Okay. Depending on wherever KD may land, although I still have him staying in Brooklyn. Who do you think is going to have the better season out of those two? Jay.
Well, when you at the stage that LeBron is at, you're on a year-to-year basis. He's going to be 38 next season, right? So I can't expect him
to go. Discounting injuries. Let's just say there's no major injuries involved for either of them.
Well, with that also being said, Haley, I can't expect him to average 30 a game again next season. I'm not going to expect that. But what I can't expect him to average 30 a game next season again. I don't think he wants to do that. I think that he wants to win. And I think his best course of action is for Anthony Davis to be healthy so I can get him more involved, for Russ to be more involved. And that's going to make him even better, because that's going to make him a better playmaker. That's going to make him a better passer. That's going to make him a better defender. That's going to make that team better, which is going to make him better. Now, when I look at KD, I'm having a difficult time with the logic that they can go into training camp with this nonsense going on, because that's going to be the first thing that they're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about that for the duration. And you know why they're going to talk about that? Because you guys got smoked in the playoffs last year. That's not, we're not going to have to discuss the fact that you guys demanded to be traded. We're going to talk about how you guys asked to be traded and the reason why you asked to be traded. On top of that, you guys got smoked in the playoffs. So how are we going to handle that? How are you guys going to get better? Well, KD, can you produce what you produced last year before you got hurt for the second year in a row? And you missed a month and a half, because from what I'm seeing from KD, when he first got back on the court, he missed half the season after that Achilles because of his hamstring. And then last year, even though it may have been inadvertent, he missed a month and a half. So is KD going to be able to hold up? So to answer your question, I do think that James is going to have a better season this season coming up.
Okay. And Nick, I didn't forget about your stuff. I should have addressed that. We'll get to it. We'll come back to it after this question. My bad, though.
The question that you asked was, who's going to have the better season, LeBron or KD?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. You threw in this caveat of assuming they don't get hurt. Well, LeBron's going to be like 97 next year.
I think he's turning 92.
The likelihood that he plays the full season is unlikely. But also, I've said this before, I think KD's injuries are going to catch up with him. So when I'm comparing the two, well, let me compare the two. Well, one is in immaculate shape, has always taken care of his body, spends millions of dollars to make sure his body is at peak physical form.
Mm-hmm.
The other is not. Like, let's be honest about who KD is, right? KD is one of the greatest scorers, the most versatile scorer of all time. Mm-hmm. But he's not, for his career, yes, there were moments in the right situations, but for his career, he's not a great defender. He's not a great ball, like, he's good for a seven-footer, but he's not a great ball handler. He's not a great passer. He's not a great playmaker, right? He's a great scorer. And if he's not scoring, the rest of the stuff is good, right? He's great, but it's not good enough. When I look at LeBron, well, LeBron is a great playmaker. LeBron is a great passer. LeBron, even at this age, can be a very good to great defender. He also averaged 30 points a game, so he's also a great scorer. So if his scoring starts to dip, he's still going to affect the games, and he's so smart. He's going to affect the game in so many more ways than KD. So people are going to look at it and see, well, KD averaged 29 and LeBron only averaged 26. KD had a better year. Well, because that's how people do things. They look at who scored the most points. But if you look at who impacted the game more, it's going to be LeBron. I also think LeBron will be healthier. And that's why I said, you know, when I said, you know, the KD superstar stuff, was the fact that I don't think moving forward, we're going to see superstar KD anymore, right? I really believe those injuries have caught up to him and he's going to play 50 games. Here's the other thing. If he's not in Brooklyn, now he's going again to a new situation with new players, with new, you know, all this stuff. And listen, it worked in with the Warriors, sure, because right. He went to a 73-9 win team. But,
right.
But, you know, when LeBron went to Miami, it took a year to figure it out. When he went to LA, it took a year to figure it out. When most players go to a new situation, it takes time to figure it out. So I just think all those negatives, that even if he stays in Brooklyn, the circus, like Jay said, that's going to be there. There's just going to be so much going on that when I look at the end of the season and I look at health, impact, total stats, not just scoring, right, I think it's LeBron that's going to have the better year.
Well, here's the thing, though, Tom. What we can't do is we can't discount that KD's game is like luggage. It travels, okay? So there's a number of different places that you can put me in that my game will just travel. The fact that he's not a good ball handler, Tone, that's not true, because
I didn't say he's not good. No. I said he's not great. He is not a great ball handler.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Great for a seven-footer. No, he's great. You say he's great for seven. He's not a great ball handler.
No, he's not.
You're not putting the ball in his hand and say, go to work like
Steph. That's exactly what you're doing, Tom. What are you talking about? That's his game. In fact, he's a one-on-one player who I either can play off the bounce, or I can just square you up and just go after you. That's his game. And his game is not one of those games where he's got to do a lot to get you where he's going. So when
for him to score, that goes to his scoring. I'm saying ball handler, I'm saying a great ball handler, passer, playmaker. So
okay,
impacting others. It's not, yes, for himself to get a bucket. Yeah, that's why I said scoring. Yes, for him scoring, no doubt. No doubt. I'm talking about impact to the others.
But with that also being said, Tone, his ability to play make isn't just subjective to scoring the basketball, right? I mean, just not passing the basketball. I mean, it's a number of different things. Now, KD could be a better passer, but I think that we passed that at this point of his career. I do think that we passed that, him averaging 6-7 assists a game. I think we passed that part. However, I do think that he could impact the game more than you give him credit for. I think that you are slighting KD a lot more, Tone. I think you're
comparing him to LeBron.
Right. I do think that. Right. And again, I do think that James is going to have a better season simply because of his impact and all the things that he does. But the fact that you just discount his ability to score and not just...
I'm not discounting it at all. I said he's a great scorer. He's going to score.
What I'm saying is that you discount because his ability to score doesn't affect everybody else. And that stuff matters, Tone. The fact that he scores, these guys playing off of him, how much better he can make them, that stuff matters. And I know you don't like to hear that because he seems to you one-dimensional, but he's a lot better than just a one-dimensional guy.
Let me, again, in the comparison against LeBron, let me ask you a question.
Right.
If LeBron shoots 35% from the field, like KD did in the playoffs last year, and averages whatever points he's averaged, 20, 22 points, whatever it was, let's say that's the same. Who does more of that other stuff?
James does. No question about that. However, that is your point, Tone, and I get that. But what I can't do is I can't discount the fact that KD is 28 a game, and he's not 28 a game like, DeMar DeRozan 28 a game. No, his 28 a game hits different than those other guys.
I said great scorer, most versatile scorer ever. I'm giving him all of those kudos. I'm just saying, again, when I'm comparing him to LeBron,
right,
all that other stuff goes
into LeBron. And again, that part I can get with. I can get with the fact that James has more impact.
And you know how much this is hurting me. No, I know I have the poster there, but you know how much this is hurting me.
Are you not a big LeBron fan, Flint?
I'm not a big LeBron. Listen, you know what's actually really funny?
Or I guess that's the wrong way to put it. Like, I know, obviously, MJ is your
guy. No, I'll
say it. No, that's the right way to put it. It's the right way to put it. You don't like him.
I'm not a big LeBron fan. No, I'm not a big LeBron fan. Now, as a basketball player, as a person, I think he's phenomenal. I think he's amazing. I love what he does, his charity. He speaks out on social issues. I know people want him. Everyone wants him to speak out about everything. And it's like, no, he picks and chooses. Yeah, that's what you do. You pick and choose what you want to talk about. Other things you don't. That being said, I was not a big fan of Michael Jordan's either. In fact, I hated Michael Jordan because he knocked my Lakers out in five. And then I still think there's a conspiracy. I feel he paid someone to infect Magic Johnson with HIV. Like, I hate Michael Jordan. Hated Michael, but just like with LeBron, I'll admit when they're great at something, I'm going to admit it. But my personal feelings aside, like, you know, I hated it. No, let's be clear.
Is it just because he's good, or I mean, him jumping around?
No, I hated MJ. No, I'm going back to, let me go to Dub first. I hated MJ because he knocked out my Lakers, and he was just, and then we stunk basically after that. For a little while,
had nothing to do with Jordan. No. That had nothing to do with Jordan.
When he beat us in the finals, I hated him.
Okay, right, and I can understand because you lost to him. But after they beat y'all, being trash had nothing to do with him.
I know. We were just trash after. Yeah, it wasn't his fault. No, I know. But still, you hate that guy, right? But then you respect his game and you watch him and you're like, damn. So I respect LeBron James. Game and all that stuff, but like, am I a fan of the way that he plays, and am I like one of these guys who thinks he can do no wrong? No. And what's funny is when I point out what he does wrong, everyone's like, you're a hater. No, you know, Plato, I don't know if you know the philosopher Plato from my country, he said the man who's the most hated man is the one who speaks facts. There's nothing I say about LeBron James that isn't true, but it's not saying he can walk on water and therefore I'm a bad guy. So I just, I think his game, I just, I don't like his game. It's not fun to watch for me. Right. Like, I'd rather watch Steph. I'd rather watch Ja. I'd rather watch, maybe it's guards. Maybe it's guards that I like. I don't know. I loved watching Vince Carter. Maybe it's the
fashion. That's because you are
long. I love Allen Iverson.
That's why Cone is that way, because he's a long ball shooter. That's why he can't appreciate the beauty of James's game all around. That's why, because James doesn't pull up from 40 like Steph Curry does. And James doesn't throw the ball between his legs six, seven times like Kevin Durant does. But he gets the job done because he is nice with the peel. LeBron James is incredible in transition. But I've gone off the rails with this with Tone.
He plays bully ball. I don't like bully ball.
I've gone off the rails with Tone with this so many different times. Let me tell you. What I don't want to do, Haley, is I don't want to discount, because I think James is going to have a bigger impact than KD will this season. And the reason why I think that is because I think that they're going to be healthier than they were last year. But I don't want to discount what KD brings to the Brooklyn Nets if they're healthy and or if he gets traded, because he's going to get traded to a situation that's going to be beneficial to him. They're not just shipping him off to Oklahoma City, right? They're not just going to ship him off to New Orleans or something. They're going to ship him off to a place where his skill set is going to be beneficial. Now, I don't want to discount his importance in scoring and what he brings to another unit who needs that. But I think James is going to have a bigger impact.
Yeah.
I love Giannis. I agree. Nick Dawson, I love Giannis. He's from my country. I have to love him.
From your country?
Yeah. The Greek freak.
The Greek freak?
Oh, okay. Did you guys see the movie?
2 blocks away from our place.
Did you see the movie Rise? It was really cute.
No, I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
It's on Disney.
My kids want to watch it.
Yeah. Like that, they'll love it. Like the acting isn't great, but the story is really sweet. Okay, I got a question from Dub. Shout out to Dub again. Jay, who is your top five most entertaining players to watch that you can think of
in NBA history or today?
NBA
history, at the top of the list, I was a huge I love Dominique Wilkins. Oh my goodness. If I was 6'8", that was my guy. Him at the top of the list, then Jordan. I was a huge Shaq fan too, because I just dug how mean Shaq was and how he just would throw guys. I mean, we had a dude running around in the NBA that was tearing down backboards. Like, they had to find him. Like, Shaq, that's enough, yo. You can't keep doing that. That was must-see TV. So I'm thinking Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal. I was a huge Jabbar fan, too, because that skyhook was incredible to me. I used to always wonder, Tone, how can you block that? Even if you were his size, how can you block that? You can't get to that. So he could score every time. It doesn't make a difference when. He could just score the basketball every time. And my last guy was Magic. Magic was must see TV. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, if you had to give me three current guys, who would they be?
Three current guys would be Curry, James. I dig Leonard too, man. I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan. I love Kawhi Leonard. I love Kawhi Leonard's game. I love everything about his game. I love how quiet he is, and he's that guy. He's scoring on you, and you're looking at him like, "What the hell?" And he's looking at you like it's not going to stop. So you might as well just get used to it. Like, he ain't going to say nothing to you. He's not going to talk to you. He's not going to give you any feedback. But he's just going to give you that look that, you know, I'm busting your ass, and this is not going to stop. So you might as well get used to it. And there's nothing that you can do about it. So I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, James, and Curry. Mm-hmm.
Kawhi's not on my five, but I got to give him a shout out because he brought my hometown.
Iconic.
He brought my hometown a chip.
Okay, so let you go. Top five all time, including current, or we can do current separate.
Mm-hmm.
There's Magic, Kobe, AI, Steph, Ja.
Ooh,
with honorable mention to probably Kyrie.
For sure.
Just because you only gave me five. Like, there's a lot more, but yeah.
I just remember seeing Allen Iverson tone with that crossover. And the first time I saw it, I remember thinking to myself, that's dangerous. Like, you might get hurt. you might don't get too close to that, because that looks dangerous right there. You could get hurt. So you might want to watch out. I don't know if they can. And I'm at that time, I'm still young, and I'm still a player. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know if they can. They might have to outlaw that. That don't look like that's legal. You might get hurt with that, yo. That does not look legit right there. Nah. I don't know if you can do that. He just looked, and Iverson also looked like the kind of player tone where he just wouldn't stop. Like, he's just going to keep coming.
Well, I've told you this story before, so I hate bringing it up, but the first time I saw AI's crossover, I was on him on a switch and my ankle's still sitting in the gym. I left it there. I never picked it up. Yeah. So yeah, no, nothing but respect for him. But like, I never switched again. I was like, stay on your damn man.
The chat is hungry for the Luka conversation. So we're gonna get into it. Fluent, will you break it down? Because I know it's the picture on our podcast today, but kind of break down what you were getting at with Luka.
So here, for those that weren't here on Tuesday, maybe we should give kind of the breakdown. Is I have a problem with the Basketball Hall of Fame, because by definition, it's basketball. Meaning, if you started, you know, anything you did from the time you picked up a basketball at 5 years old technically counts. So, you know, like, there's guys that I want it to be, I guess I want it to, I want there to be an NBA. I keep saying this, right? Like, Adam Silver, like, let me know. I will volunteer my time to create an NBA Hall of Fame.
They got a pro football Hall of Fame. They got a college basketball. They got a college football.
Yeah. The you know, when guys like Tony Kukoc are in the Hall of Fame, I can't, like, it's just, I get it. You know, he's a two-time EuroLeague MVP. You know, there's, you know, we had to talk about Draymond Green being a first ballot Hall of Famer. Again, I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. So this image was sent to me today, and I don't know, we probably can't pull it up on screen, unfortunately, because JD's not here to do all the cool graphic stuff. Dub. But here, I'll just read it through. So it says Luka Doncic, three-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA first team, Rookie of the Year, EuroLeague champ, EuroLeague MVP, EuroLeague Final Four MVP, All-EuroLeague first team, three-time Spanish League champ, Spanish League MVP, All-Spanish League first team, gold at EuroBasketball. That resume, if he were to retire today, gets him into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And you got a problem with that. Why, Tone?
Because people are going to call him a Hall of Famer and reference it like NBA. And today he is not an NBA Hall of Famer. So, and maybe it's, I shouldn't let it bother me, but when people say, like, well, Michael Jordan in 98 played with four Hall of Famers. And I'm like, who? And I was like, well, him, Pippen, Rodman, and Kukoc. I'm like, Kukoc?
Dude's not an
NBA Hall of Famer. He's a Hall. Yes, he's a Hall. Technically, right. He's a Hall of Famer. But stuff like that is just your kids are going to tell you, Haley, Steph Curry was nothing. He played with five Hall of Famers, right? If you include him, KD, Iggy's probably going in the hall, Draymond, Clay, like whoever else was on that damn team. Like,
there's different tiers, and how do we distinguish kind of between
that's what was my thing on Tuesday, was like, if everyone's just a Hall of Famer and it's basketball, it's not NBA. As time goes on, those lines get so blurred that, you know, we lose that context that's really important. Like, let me ask you, if Luka Doncic retired today, would you have him in the NBA Hall of Fame?
Well, let's see. If you match up his career, he's only played 4 years, right? So he's only been in the league 4 years. So, but the four years that he's been in the league, no, because he hasn't done enough, and he hasn't had enough time to do enough. It would be the same as Petrovic. Petrovic was on his way to being a Basketball Hall of Famer. But, Tone, I think what you're discounting is, you're discounting the fact that all of those things that you just ran off, that's an 8-year career. That's not a guy who played basketball. He's been playing basketball at the pro level for 8 years, almost a decade long. So when you talk about being a basketball Hall of Famer, that's absolutely legit. The Spanish league is one of the best leagues on the planet.
I'm okay with him being in the basketball Hall of Fame. I want her to be an NBA Hall of Fame.
Right, Tone. And not only that, not only is the Spanish league one of the best leagues on the planet, his game translated. So he went and played in the Spanish league and was the Spanish league three-time MVP. He was the EuroLeague MVP. And in his game, he came over to the NBA and was an all-NBA performer. Not once, not twice, but three times. So in an eight-year career, I dominated at every level of the pro game. So that absolutely constitutes me as being a Hall of Famer if his career ended today. I think, Tone, you stuck on the NBA and the NBA only. Even though the NBA is the best league, I won't dispute that, Tone. The NBA is the best league, but it's not the only league. And it's not the only place where great basketball is being played. Great basketball is being played all over the world. There's plenty of other basketball leagues that are awesome. No, they're not as good as the NBA, but they're also awesome. The EuroLeague is a
I'm not saying they're not awesome.
And not only is the EuroLeague a great basketball league, Luka dominated the EuroLeague. Not only is the Spanish league a great basketball league for pros, Luka dominated that league. Not only is the NBA the best basketball league in the world, Luka is dominating this league. So if you're going to talk about Luka being a Hall of Famer, dominating Tone, he's been in the league for 4 years. 3 to 4 years, he's been first team All-NBA. Not an All-NBA performer, first team All-NBA.
Do you have the NBA Hall of Fame today?
If his career ended today, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. That's an eight-year career.
NBA Hall of Fame.
No, not NBA. I already got to the bottom of that. He hasn't been in the league long enough. He has not been in the league. If it was the NBA, no. But for his career, yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you this. If he stopped playing as a rookie in the NBA, as a rookie, after his rookie season, would he be in the Hall of Fame?
That's only 4 years, Tone. No, that's not enough. Mm-mm.
Everything I reeled off there was mostly not NBA stuff.
Right.
And I tell you, probably would be in the Hall of Fame.
But here's the difference, though, Tone.
And that's why I want, and I know I'm redundant here, but that's why I want an NBA Hall of Fame that has those tiers. Because if we're looking at everything, all the history of basketball, anywhere you've ever played, right? Like they do in the Hall of Fame, who's the greatest player of all time?
Who is the greatest player of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's a lot of good players. It's a lot of great players, Tone. But if you're going off one guy, I think it's Oscar Schmidt. I think Oscar Schmidt
he's the greatest player of all time.
But you're talking about the greatest player of all time. I think it's Jabbar.
The greatest, if we're including all. High school, college,
well, Jabbar.
All
the pros. No, nobody has a resume that's close to Jabbar's.
It's
nobody.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Nobody has a resume that's close to Jabbar's.
So that's why that's why I feel that we need to have a distinction, because there's one thing to be the greatest player of all time in all basketball, where we include everything, because I think we all agree it's Kareem. There's another thing to be the greatest basketball player in the NBA history, which is the greatest league of all time. Those other leagues are great. Again, I'm not knocking them at all, but the NBA is the best of the best play in the NBA.
Right, and not only do the I'm sorry, Haley.
No, go. Well, I just wanted to clarify. Kareem is the best player ever to play basketball, is what you both are saying.
100%. 100%.
But in the league specifically, you're saying it's either MJ or.
But if you just look at the NBA, he's not. If you just look at the NBA, he's not. Okay. But if you look at high school, he went what? 3 seasons he played varsity.
Like
he
all won three. Time player.
He won three championships. I know Jay knows his record. I don't know what his record there was.
It's 71, and he had a 71 game win streak in high school.
71 game win streak. Yeah, I think they were like 72-1. Yeah, and then he goes to UCLA. Three seasons playing at UCLA. Three championships. They go. Right. I believe it's 20-0, 19-1, 19-1.
I think they went 89-4. Something. Yeah. Like that.
No, they only lost two games. The one season they went undefeated, then they lose one game in one game. So he only lost two games in 3 years.
Yeah, something.
They win all three national championships. He averages, I think, like 25, 26, and 15. Mm-hmm. They ban him from dunking because he's scoring too easy. And he's the best player in college basketball all three of those seasons. Then he comes to the NBA and has the resume he has in the NBA. Like, there's no one that has done that much from the age of 14 till today, that successful, that many accolades, that many just everything. Like, it's, I don't even think, like, if anyone actually thinks there's a discussion, I think is crazy.
No, I don't think it's a discussion either, Tone.
So let's just pretend we had this hypothetical, like, league. what would you say? Because you were saying like, oh, I would want elite players at the top and then there to be different tiers. I mean, and I just looked up players, like some of the best NBA players that never made it to the Hall of Fame. One of them being Chauncey Billups. He had he's a five-time All-Star, 2004 NBA championship, finals MVP, second all-time, all-NBA second team. And then there's other players like Tim Hardaway, Sean Marion, like these guys. I mean, they played 5 years, 6 years, whatever. But what would you say as far as kind of the tiers? Would time frame and like longevity be a part in those tiers? And
yeah, of course.
Would championships, like if you had four, you couldn't be into this in this category, things like that. How would you even separate, I guess?
If you only have longevity is part of greatness, right? I'm not saying anybody, but like a lot of players can have a year or two or three, right, where they have spurts of greatness. But I feel like unless you've had greatness for 8 to 10 years minimum, right? Like, you know, not just one good year, like heck, Jeremy Lin had a great week. Do we put him in the Hall of Fame? No, right? Like Julius Randle, Dub's favorite player, had a great season in New York, but that's not who he was as a player, right? There's players like that that just, you know, whether it be like some of it is injury and you can't control that and that sucks, but that's part of it too. You have to be able to stay healthy. You have to have that longevity. So I think you have to look at that. You have to look at the impact they had on the game. Can you talk about the now? Not any of these things individually, it's all together, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the history of the game without that person? Mm-hmm. So when I say my NBA Hall of Fame, when I say tiers, it would be like, you know, the Jordans, the James, the, you know, those the guys, they don't even have a waiting period. They retire, they're in, right? And then maybe you have first ballot, second ballot, third ballot.
That I do have that I got an issue with. Like, there's no reason why when Kobe Bryant retired in 2016, he shouldn't have been on the ballot and in the Hall of Fame the next year. Why did
he should be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, he's right away.
He should not have had to wait 4 years.
There's no question about him going into the Hall.
Right. That part I would like to see changed. But when I think about a guy, like you just said, when you talk about tiers, okay, sure, there's different halls. I mean, there's different places that these guys should be in, no doubt about that. But when we're talking about Luka, I mean, I dominated at every level. And I dominated from the beginning. And not only did I dominate from the beginning, I dominated for a long time. I dominated in the greatest league. I dominated in the second greatest league. And I dominated in the third greatest league. That means I'm one of the best basketball players on planet Earth. And it's not a question. And I did it for almost a decade. And I'm just getting started. He's only 23 years old. So if his career ended today, I believe he's a Hall of Famer. But is he at that tier where you're talking about, Tone, with James and Jordan? No, he's not that good. I would not say that he was that good. But is he in?
So maybe it's just that. Maybe it's once you retire, if you're that where we know, boom, you're in, no waiting period. Everybody else has to have the waiting period and be voted in. Because honestly, if that was the case, I wouldn't mind Draymond then being first ballot if it was like, hey, he's got a three-year waiting period. Because he wasn't the elite of the elite, and we voted him in, and he was in. Okay, cool. I still think he could be second ballot. But
I just have a difficult time with this first ballot, second ballot, because, Tone, I retired in 2016. My stats are not going to change, and they're not going to look any different in 2020 or in 2025 than they did in 2016. They're still the same stats.
Unfortunately, because they have limits on how many people can get in, sometimes it's who you're going up against that keeps you out. So although your stats don't change, you might be going up against a class that's just crazy, and that's the unfortunate part of it,
right? So if that's true, then we need to scrap this idea that there's a waiting period. If your stats, we need to have a criteria. If your stats and what you've done, your accolades and your stats meet the criteria that you are a first ballot Hall of Famer, you shouldn't have to wait 4 years. Get this person in. If your stats,
you don't care if there's like 20 people in one class and one the next year.
That wouldn't bother me, and the reason why that wouldn't bother me, Tone, is because when we're talking about the best of the best, we're not going to have a lot of guys if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, or not even a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not going to say that. We're not going to have a lot of guys who, when they retire immediately, we say this dude is a Hall of Famer, and it's not a question. There's not a lot of guys that you can say that about. You may be able to say that when guys retire. You don't say that about plenty of guys. You'll say that about a few guys. Like when Chris Bosh retired, is Chris Bosh a first ballot Hall of Famer? See, that's what I'm talking about right there, Tone. So a guy like that, you can't say that. However, when Shaquille O'Neal retires, or when James retires, or when Steph Curry retires, there's no question.
They should walk right off the court to the Hall of Fame. Is what
right. There's no reason why Derek Jeter should have had to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. No reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. Dub, I'm tired of trying to make sense of Dub, but I'll give you his comment and get your reaction. He says, in regards to Kareem, I mean, you play in the 70s. It's not that hard to dominate.
If it wasn't that hard to dominate, then everybody would have been doing it. So whenever I hear people say stuff like, yo, it wasn't that hard to do something, if it wasn't that hard to do it, then everybody would have been doing it. There's a reason why only one guy was doing this, only two guys was doing this. And the reason why only one or two guys were doing it is because it was really, really hard. And that guy was really, really good. So, I mean, Jabbar averaged 30 and 15 for 8 straight years. Knock it off. Knock it off.
You have to understand, Dub only started watching basketball like 3 years ago. So,
do you guys think Clay is going to be in the Hall of Fame? Unlimited Range said, is Clay and Draymond in the
Hall of Fame? I do think that Clay Thompson is a Hall of Famer. I don't think that he gets in as a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I do think that he gets in. No doubt about it. He's a part of, when you tell the story of the NBA, it's going to be difficult not to mention Klay Thompson, because he's linked.
He's a splash brother. He's a splash brother.
Right. He's linked at the hip with Steph Curry. So it's going to be difficult to tell a story of the NBA without adding him. I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I definitely believe he's a Hall of Famer. No doubt about it.
The way that voters are going to look at it. So let me be clear. I'm saying this the way the voters are going to look at it, because I know people will come after me. Some will actually praise me for this. Some will hate me for this. But here's the reality. The way that voters are going to look at this is Klay is a hair behind statistically of Reggie Miller with rings. How is he not going to be in the Hall of Fame? Statistically, he is a hair behind Reggie Miller with what, 4 rings and counting, right? There's no way he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then Alan just said, Fluent, are your Toronto boys Lowry and DeRozan Hall of Famers? What do you think?
If we're just looking at regular season, yeah, and they're playoff bums.
I know that you don't want to.
I think DeMar is a borderline Hall of Famer. Sadly, I don't think Kyle Lowry's a Hall of Famer, and that's too bad because he's one of the best guys ever. But he's
Tone. You get so wrapped up in being Steph Curry good, Magic Johnson good, Michael Jordan good. When I look at Kyle Lowry has better stats than Mo Cheeks, and he got an NBA championship, and he's got an Olympic gold medal, and he's an All-NBA performer. Kyle Lowry is going into the NBA. Tim Hardaway is in the NBA. Kyle Lowry is going into the NBA. He's going into the Hall of Fame.
Sorry. She asked, do I think? Sorry, into the existing Hall of Fame? Oh, yeah, they're all in. Everybody's in. How do they?
DeMar DeRozan, When you retire,
here's your Hall of Fame jacket. Like, everybody's in.
DeMar DeRozan has, I think he's got some work to do. But Kyle Lowry, I know you guys don't want to hear this. He got an Olympic gold medal. He's an All-NBA performer. He made the All-Star team 6 times, I think. I think he'd be the All-Star team.
No, you're right. You're right. He's in this Hall of Fame. He's in. You're right. You're right. He is. He's in.
So, and that's just in the NBA. That's not including what he did at Villanova. That's not including what he was an All Big East performer in college. So that's something completely
different. Well, that's the other part too. You got to include the college and the high school and elementary school, and you know when he played pickup in the summer. Yeah, the other thing though, I gotta ask you, because you brought up Mo Cheeks. You said he's got better numbers than Mo Cheeks.
Yes, he does.
Right? And so he should be in. Here's my question though: if we're comparing guys today with guys in the 80s, 70s, 60s in terms of numbers, everybody in today's NBA is going to get in. Like, shouldn't you have to compare them against where they ranked versus their own players today? Because the game, like the shooting, the scoring, the wait 5 years when the 4-point line comes out, they're going to be breaking every record you can imagine.
There has to be a separator, right? There has to be a separator. And what Kyle Lowry, the separator between him, Kyle Lowry, you know, Rondo got similar numbers to Mo Cheeks. The separator with Kyle Lowry, the separator with Rondo is these dudes is on championship teams. That's the difference. If these dudes was just doing what they were doing and they weren't winning, I think that we wouldn't be having this conversation. But the fact that these dudes won, that's the difference. And that's going to be the separator with those guys. Now, when you're talking about in the freedom of movement era and when a guy is averaging, you know, 25 a game, like DeMar DeRozan, listen, Alex English wasn't one of the top 50 players. And I can't say with 100% certainty that they were right in that, because I don't think that they were right. He's not even in – I don't even think Alex English was top 70. Yeah, he was top 75. I'm sorry. So – with that being said, I'm not sure if Alex English was top 75.
I don't think
he was. I have to look.
I don't think he was.
He should be, but he was not.
Right. Alex English was not top 75, which is nuts to me, right? So
yeah, you need to put him in and take Bill Walton out.
Right. When I think about a guy like Alex English, like you said, to compare guys, so a guy that's today, like DeMar DeRozan, who's buckets. So if DeMar DeRozan is a Hall of Famer, then Alex Inglis is absolutely a Hall of Famer, because I led the entire decade in scoring. I was a scoring machine. That was my job. That's all I did. I scored the basketball. If Carmelo Anthony, his Olympic prowess is what's going to be the separator between him and other people, plus the fact that he won in college. That's going to be the difference. But with Alex Inglis, if we're comparing him and DeMar DeRozan, once again, if DeMar DeRozan is a Hall of Famer, who I still think he's got more work to do, he still hasn't done as much as Alex English. Absolutely not. So if he's a Hall of Famer, Alex English is definitely a top 75 player.
Yeah, who did you guys?
Again, this goes to my problem with the Hall of Fame. There's, if we went down the list of every team, there's probably like two guys on every team that should be in the Hall of Fame.
Alex English is in the Hall of Fame. That's the thing.
Alex English is already in the Hall of Fame.
The fact that he's not a top 75 player, I'm having a difficult time with that. That part I am having a difficult time with.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because we weren't doing a pod at this time, but who do you think kind of got snubbed from the top 75, Jay?
Well,
Dwight Howard wasn't in there, right?
Yeah, Dwight Howard. We had this, but yeah, go ahead.
We definitely had this conversation that Dwight Howard, I was surprised that he wasn't on that list, even though he did have a drop-off after he had a 5-6 year run where he was arguably the best big man in the game. He did have a drop-off. True. And I had a difficult time with Vince Carter not being a top 75 player simply because he played in four different decades. The fact that he played in four different decades, that's enough for me. Those are the only two guys. I had people talking about, you know, Tracy McGrady. And the question that had to be asked is, well, who's coming off the list? Because I made it crystal clear that Kyrie Irving is not going on the list at the expense of Damian Lillard. That's not happening. No. Dame is not coming off the list for Kyrie Irving. No, he is not coming off the list for Tracy McGrady. He's not. He is not coming off the list for any of those guys. Absolutely not. Dwight Howard, on the other hand, I can appreciate Dwight Howard coming on the list for guys like Bill Walton. Absolutely.
I've said it multiple times. Bill Walton.
I can say that. I can appreciate some guy. I have a problem with, like, Lenny Wilkins being in the top 75. This dude never made the All-NBA team, not one time. That means that at no point...
He was a great coach.
At no point during your career were you ever a top 15 player in the game or a top 10 player in the game. At no point. I got a problem with that. I got a huge problem with that. But
Let's play a game. Chat, you guys are in this too. We're going to play a game. So this game is for, I feel like it's whose line is this anyways. This game is for Jay and Haley. Here we go. I'm going to say a player's name. And chat, you're just going to say yes or no. Haley and Jay, you're going to just say yes or no. If they should, forget how we're going to make it work, who's going to come out. Forget that for now, just for this game. Are they a top 75 player? Again, if there was unlimited spots, I know it's top 75. That doesn't make sense, but anyways, here we go. All right, so yes or no, top 75.
These are
75.
Players outside.
These are players that people said were snubbed. So you're going to tell me, should they be in the top 75 without worrying who's in the room? All right, Pau Gasol.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm okay with it.
Yes.
You have to say yes or no. That's your two options. Yes. Yes, he should be in. Okay, yes, no. Powell should be in. No, make up your mind. Yes or no?
I don't know. I'm either way. No, I guess no for me.
No, okay.
I see other guys.
So Jay says yes, Haley says no. Dwight Howard.
No.
Yes.
Chris Bosh.
No.
No.
He hesitated. Tony Parker. Underrated man. Yes. Poor Tony Parker gets no love.
Yeah.
Haley, did you answer?
Yeah, I said yes.
You said yes? And sorry, and Jay, you said yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm a yes with that one. Vince Carter, Jay, we know yours is a yes. Haley?
Yes. Agreed. Yes. I thought that was
weird. I don't see how Vince Carter, who to your point played in four different decades, and let's be honest, he influenced 36 million people in Canada to watch basketball. The Grizzlies went bankrupt and had to move.
The Grizzlies had Rayman to move. Too? I don't know. I feel like he was huge. Like,
of course he was huge. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is the Grizzlies had to move from Vancouver to Memphis because no one was going to the damn games. Toronto just exploded and Canada exploded with insanity. It's crazy that
I don't think that we can. And real quick, before you say that, Tone, I don't think that we can underestimate. I don't think we can overestimate Tone. You're talking about him influencing a country, not just the city of the country.
You guys don't realize, right? Because you're and let's be honest. I think I was actually for part of it. I was in the U.S. too, but you don't understand when Vince Carter came on the scene. The second he hit the floor, you saw, literally, you could drive down a neighborhood and see basketball nets being put up everywhere. And it's not like we weren't playing basketball before. We were, right? Like, heck, I played basketball before Vince Carter did. But the thing was, everywhere, they were like, put like, not just, you know, their basketball courts, people in their front yards, like basketball just became. And the thing is, what people don't understand, and I said this, we should talk about Chris Broussard too, that moron. People don't understand Toronto like specifically. Toronto is the most multicultural city in the world. Part of that comes with not everybody. Everyone thinks, oh, it's hockey. No, dude, hockey. Yes, for like the true North Canadians, but in Toronto specifically, where it's so multicultural, let me give me a basketball and play, right? Like I guarantee, there's just as many cricket fields as there is baseball diamonds in the Greater Toronto area. People don't understand that. So when basketball kind of, it's cool now, they all rushed. Okay, Vince Carter. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I did squirrel. Okay, back. Alex English.
Top 70. Yes, I think he's a top 75 player. Yes.
I'm okay with that.
Bernard King.
No, I don't even know who that is, actually.
Are you serious, Haley?
I know. I don't know who that is. I'll be.
Oh, boy.
I hope there's no Nick fans in the house.
We don't have enough time, but the next time
I'll do my homework.
I'll give you a history lesson on Mr. Bernard King.
In 84, 85, King averaged like 33 points a game. Like, dude was a bucket, but okay.
What position was he? Maybe I have seen him, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with him.
He played the small forward spot. He finished second to Larry Bird in 84. Again, Haley, I know we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, all right. Next Tracy time, McGrady. I'll... Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady.
No.
No.
All right, I want to hear from the chat on Tracy McGrady. Oh, there's something about Chris Broussard up here. Let's see what did it say about Chris Broussard.
Yeah.
I like Chris Broussard. I did Chris Broussard, no doubt.
I liked Chris Broussard. Until he did the most horrific thing a media person could do. He took his own viewpoint and he tried to put it on other people. When he said that when you're in Toronto, you know it's not America. It's not America, especially for Black people. And why I think it was bad of a media personality to do that is he's talked to players and he tried to speak on behalf of Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh, Kyle Lowry, all these guys and say like, well, it's not the same. You're right. It's not the same. But if you talk to, and I listen, I know he's interviewed more basketball players than I have, but every single one I've talked to and that I've met, like, you know, my brother works for ESPN. I'm down at the stadium all the time. I talk to the guys as much as I can. They all love Toronto. And the second he said it, every single one I know, including Richard Jefferson, Hollis Jefferson, Kyle Lowry, everybody came right out and said, you guys are nuts. Chris Broussard is nuts. When you play for the Raptors, you are embraced like family, like you were born here. The city embraces you. The city loves you. Like I said, I already said, it's the most multicultural city in the world. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. And so when he said that, that's why players don't want to go play in Toronto. It was so ignorant of him to say that, because he should know better. He's talked to people. He's a media guy. So I don't know what agenda he had there, but it was very poor. It was very unprofessional of him to do what he did there. So that's why he took a hit for me.
How long ago was this?
Like 2 days ago. And he used example of, and he's like, you know, before Masai got there, Masai's been there for 10, been here, I should say, for 10 years. What do you mean before Masai got here? So it was terrible.
He says some outlandish stuff sometimes, but.
Right. Yeah. Then you see, you got guys like Scam, who doesn't understand, Scam Thanos here. Mr. You know, we should play his theme music for his Scam. Who says, technically Canada are French and American are British. Like, dude, no idea. Like, that just shows me, I have no idea what you're talking about. The French in Canada, we put them in a province and told them to stay there. It's like we're gonna build a wall like you guys want to do with the Mexican. Like, it's, yeah. Anyways, people are still mad about the War of 1812. What can I tell you? U.S. tried to invade Canada and lost, but anyways, another story for another day. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Don't make me play with my soundboard when there's silence.
We're not doing that. So yeah. But Haley, what we're gonna do? Like I said, Haley, what we're gonna do the next time I see you? We'll have a discussion about Bernard King.
We'll do a Bernard King history lesson.
I'm sure I've seen him, but I honestly don't. I mean, was he like a top 10 player in the league?
Yeah, like I said, he in 1984 the Celtics won the NBA championship, and he finished second to Bird in league MVP votes. He was absolutely phenomenal, and I'll give you a history lesson on Bernard King. He was awesome, no doubt about that. Yes, I will, no question. So
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm ready.
No doubt. So.
All right, you guys. Either of you have anything else? I know today was kind of. Just off
well, let's go. Why don't we good? Go? Why don't we go to the chat? Oh, we ran. Wow, we ran really late.
Yeah.
I know. That's us. We'll definitely do more like rapid fire questions next Tuesday. Hopefully, mm-hmm. we'll get some kind of closure with the KD Kyrie thing. But honestly, we probably won't have heard mm-hmm. anything by then. But everybody in the chat, thanks for joining us today for sure. Get those likes up before you head out. And Dub, shout out to you for producing for us today. But yeah, for
Dub,
now.
Hey Dub. All right, go ahead.
Fu, any last thoughts?
Yeah, this episode is. I'm obsessed with my wrestlers today. We can move on.
You couldn't hear it. Okay.
You couldn't hear it?
No.
Are you serious? You couldn't hear that? Oh, no. That's a.
Sorry, Tone.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
That one you heard.
That one we heard. That one we did hear. I appreciate that.
I gotta delete that other one then if you didn't hear it.
Thanks. All right. Yep.
All right, Jay, take it away.
Until then, take it light, but take it.
Dub.
It's the only thing we understand. I'ma stand till on Jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on the slide. I don't never.